The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Well, every week feels like the end of the world.
What's wrong, buddy?
The earth feels like a bad place.
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, had your head buried in barbecue?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good Lord. It doesn't feel real.
It's January 30th. I don't know why, like, I feel compelled to be informed,
mm-hmm.
but then the information just fucking bums me out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. I'll donate. I don't know what else to do. Anything else?
Who'd you donate to?
A lot of places.
So you scatter it out a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
I was like,
good for you.
Yeah, I mean, see what good it does.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing money at the problem like a shitty parent. Not throwing money at the problem. I'm throwing money at the people that can hopefully mm-hmm. help fix the problem.
Well, it just seems comical. Like, I honestly can't keep up because every day it's something new that Trump has done.
Yeah. I was like, I should know. And then I watched news. And also, not smart enough to comprehend everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's going by very fast. And so that's the world. We should come up with solutions. If you're bummed out by the news and maybe you don't have money to donate – maybe you got time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many. Everybody's like, "Oh, we'll go visit a mosque." I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we need white people bum rushing mosques right now. That could be a bit threatening.
What y'all doing in here?
Open up! We want to help.
I just want to learn.
So, anyway, this is the Boogie Monster.
Mm-hmm.
With Kyle and Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And every week feels like it might be the last one.
It does. It does.
I will try to make jokes about it, but I was there like, man, a lot of people's New Year's diets are really going to shit right now. Like, yeah. Oh, what happened again? Yeah, I'm going to have hot dogs for all three meals. I don't give a fuck anymore.
It's lower down on the priority list now.
Yeah, like every meal. Let it taste pretty good. Because it might, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's always been my problem. I eat every meal as if it was my last. Might die tomorrow. Going to wish I had that cheeseburger.
That is a good way to die sooner, mm-hmm. is to eat every meal that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took that old cliche, live every day as if it's your last. I flipped that around to just made it pertain to food.
Just the food part of the day. The rest of the day, really pissed it away.
Yeah.
The rest of the day, just watched Hoarders. But the meal part, I take that.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Well, we've been carpe diem. We've been persevering, though, in the face of all this craziness.
We
had a good weekend.
Yeah, we live in the socialist commune of Southern California.
Yeah.
We're not.
In our bubble.
Yeah, a bunch of people patting themselves on the back about, like, well, we know we're doing the right thing.
We were in Jumbo's clown room bubble the other day.
Yeah, we forgot about our woes over at the clown room, which is a bikini dancing bar.
Oh, boy.
Famous for having Courtney Love once graced their stages.
Mm-hmm.
And It's a dancing lady club, but uh-huh. they're not naked, and they'll get mean at you if you don't tip.
Yeah.
It's good for them.
Yeah. Sassy gals.
They'll yell at you.
Yeah.
They'll get paid. So, Yeah, we tore it up on Saturday. We almost recorded an episode, which you were wise enough.
I'm glad we didn't.
To just say don't.
Yeah, that would not have.
I was all for it, but apparently putting the kibosh on Kyle making the call when we can record episodes.
Oh, man, I wanted you to bring your Theramune down here.
Oh, the Theramune? Well, get it. Got the video on the Instagram account.
Theramune. I think I call it Theramune. That sounds like a medication.
Theramune, yeah. That's like between Theramine and Theraflu. Y'all going to play that Theraflu?
But no, we had a good time, man. That was fun. We made a whole day of it. Not just there. We kind of hit all the spots.
Right? ate breakfast, and then we went to a bar.
Yeah.
That was the order that day.
Yeah. That's all we did.
Was you want to meet for breakfast? And you're like, oh, I already ate. And then just the rumination. Again, you can use this current societal predicament in positive or negative ways. Maybe you could use it to be like, this is something I've always wanted to do, so go do it. If you've been waiting to do something, you should do it now.
Yeah.
And what we want to do was piss the whole day away drinking. Not that that's an elusive opportunity for either one of us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we got to chase our own tails by the end of Saturday.
The drawing room.
We went to the drawing room.
Did we go to Rustic?
No.
We didn't go to Rustic.
No, went from the drawing room to the Jumbo's to the home here.
Yeah. Whew, full day though.
We saw an old guy thrown up in the bathroom the whole day. That was sad. We're like, man, let's just have one of those. You forget, like, well, let's have one of those cool, like, those romantic LA days. Not like a sexy room, but like,
yeah,
man, just the sunlight creeping in the dark bar of the day. And it's almost those Bukowski-esque, like, this is where the poets live. Yeah. And then there was just a 75-year-old guy thrown up in the sink, just a lifer alcoholic. And you're like, oh, that could be me if I don't.
That's where this leads.
Let's straighten ourselves out and go to the Dancing Lady Bar, where there's a little more life in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was the day we were going to record.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. For good reason.
Yeah.
You're good call there.
Yeah.
Apparently I wasn't even making any sense by the end of the night.
I'm usually the voice of reason between us two idiots.
Really?
That's scary.
Is that the case?
I think so.
I mean, fear not. There will be another greatest worst episode.
Yeah,
on the books. I don't know if I apologize with lads and people got pissed about the pizza one because we're eating into the mics.
Yeah,
no, I'll apologize because I hate that. Like, I hate that. Did I apologize?
We talked about that last week.
I'm having real bad memory loss.
It's
I just walked upstairs to get the SD card for this.
Uh huh.
Walked upstairs, turned off a light, and walked right back down here.
Hmm.
And like, oh, the whole reason I went up there for the just nope, forgot.
Yeah, yeah, I have a bit of that sometimes.
Too much dope.
Yeah. What else going on this weekend? Anything exciting?
I went to the Magic Castle.
Okay.
Which is a good way to distract yourself with some magic, old-time magic.
I've never been.
It's, I don't remember if we discussed it. There's a place in Los Angeles called the Magic Castle. Mm-hmm. It's like the Magician's Hangout, but it's a big mansion-type house.
So right there on Franklin?
Right in Hollywood. And you can go, you get dinner. They got a kitchen, dining rooms, but then they have these theaters. There's all these different like theaters and stages where there's magic going on everywhere. Bless yourself.
Woo!
I say bless yourself. I don't say God bless you because I believe God lives in every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I say you bless yourself.
Yeah. You figure it
out. Instead of go fuck yourself, I say go bless yourself.
So anyway,
and magic. I think magic's one of those things you never realize how much you are delighted by it until you're there and you're like, that, you got me. That that amazed me. And thank you for perfecting this skill that probably guaranteed you didn't get laid for far until much later in life. And here and then, but then that brings joy. They do a little close-up thing where you just sit, like a guy's just got a little table in a corner. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're just walking by. We'll sit at this guy's table. And it's right in front of your face, and it's Pete Holmes has that good bit about magic where somebody wants to ruin it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's magnets. It's like, oh,
magnets.
So, yeah. And it's some of it's cheesy and it's silly, and then some of it's even if there's cheesy like flash around it, and kind of like, I don't care the skill with which you can just make cards disappear in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I just blows my mind.
Yeah, I think magicians get a bad rap, especially like amongst comics. I don't know. It just seems to be they're a little lower down on the totem pole of live entertainment. But it's always interesting. They always trick me. I can't do any of that crap.
Yeah, I think because the secrecy always lends to creepiness.
That, and I think there's also an element of just trickery. Just what's wrong with you that you are always going to be tricking people?
Or that, that you just sat alone trying to figure out how to hide a rubber ball on your person somewhere. Like you just sat in your room.
Well, that's not old.
Hiding your little foam, making your rings clink together.
Yeah.
Would that be a skill? You think that would be a necessary skill, getting to the subject at hand?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about doomsday prepping today.
Yeah.
But I guess even more so than the prepping part of it is what value would you have to offer in a post-apocalyptic landscape?
I think a magician would come in handy. They could pick locks. They could get out of confined spaces.
Yeah, if they design the confined space.
Oh, so it's not just a universal skill that they have?
No, man. It's mad. Yeah. Like, I don't think you could go to the store and buy a lock and be like, get out of this. Magicians bring their own locks.
Okay.
Magicians, you see them bring the trunk. They're like, oh, this is pre-approved accoutrement. These are props you brought.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they were like, we closed it out last night, and they're all backing up their vans and their pickup trucks to load all their shit into. Like, they got their own gear.
That's funny. a magic roadie.
I early in my career, worked with a guy named, I wonder if he's still around, Mark Fay. Mark the Knife, and he was he wasn't a magician as much as he was like a juggler and a unicyclist, and would like had like a 6 foot tall unicycle and would juggle chainsaws on it and stuff. And I would sometimes open for him, and then I'd have to help him load his unicycles into his van.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a nice guy. He was a good guy. Sold lizard eggs on the side. So that's what you do when you're kind of a magician and you live in your.
Lizard eggs.
I think it was above ground, but it might not have been. Yeah, like I think he just like when like the juggling wasn't paying the bills, he would sell reptile eggs to pet stores.
Huh. Interesting.
I hope I didn't just blow up his spot or anything. I don't want to get him trouble in the lizard egg black market.
Patton Oswalt's got that great bit about opening for magician.
Oh yeah, and they're just disgruntled. It's one ring, it's two rings, now it's no rings. Boom, go fuck yourself.
And then, I don't know, the punch at the end was just like, oh, is this some avant-garde thing where they dress a boy up in women's clothes?
Or lesbian cackles in the background. Because I've seen it done better, I'll say.
Such a good bit.
But so, obviously, we entertain the idea of doomsday prepping. It's kind of a fun thing to think about. You're just thinking about long-term camping is what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And now that it's more of a possibility I don't know from what. I mean, disaster you can't predict. It's not going to be a doomsday if it's just a civil unrest. Like, that's a different type of preparation.
Well, but it's a lot of the same procedures and techniques apply, though, as far as just packing up and getting the hell out of here.
There was I read a real good book by Neil Strauss called Emergency, and he basically signed up for every class, like every survival thing, just signed up for all of it. Urban escape, forest survival. One of my things, like, nobody would know what to do. Even if you got out of town and your car broke down. Basic thing. Like if a hose blew, I would look under the hood like, I don't know what happened. Like I get like...
Well, that's part of the survival training is you got to learn some of this real basic mechanical stuff. You got to know how to take care of your vehicles,
Take care of your vehicles. How about just making a shelter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, like, all this stuff, like, oh, it'd be fun, like, Boy Scout stuff, if it was life and death. What, like what? I mean, you're all just, no, like, lean a thing. I watch Castaway every time it's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I'm like, it doesn't seem so bad. Like,
I felt that way.
I don't know.
I could use a break.
If that really, yeah, would that, like, taint, like, all right, we went to Hawaii. Now, what if it was just you in Hawaii? Okay, it was beautiful, mm-hmm. but then you got to eat a lot of crab.
I love crab.
But forever.
There's worse things.
No butter.
Yeah. Salt.
Salt water.
Figure out how to extract the salt from the sea.
I don't think you salt. You don't salt crab.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I do.
You salt your crab?
Mm-hmm. In the water you're boiling it in.
You know what? I've never made a crab, so I didn't know there's salt in it. So you just boil it in the salt water.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He never boiled the crab in Castaway. Oh, no container. Mm-hmm. I got it. Yeah. I got it. Okay, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hold on. There was so many other ways he could have prepared it. I would like to watch Castaway with a chef.
Yeah.
And see if they could throw in ideas. Like, oh, that plant right there? Oh, that's wild sage. You could have sprinkled some of that on there. watch like those survival movies, but with a chef and see if they have any other tips.
Catch a squid. Have some calamari. Come on.
Like Revenant or something. Like, yeah, man, you got to cook. You don't want to go right for the liver. You're going to get sick.
Oh, man. Well.
Yeah, I don't know. I always am fascinated with it. I have the freeze-dried food and the crank radio and the straw that you could drink out of dirty puddles with. I got all that stuff. I've been making jokes about it lately.
What kind of freeze-dried food do you have?
I just got a bucket of General Dinners.
General Dinners?
Like, it's like the one packet. It's a plastic
like bag. An MRE, like a military?
Yeah, but it's just camp. It's freeze-dried camping food.
Okay.
And so you could pour a hot water in the pouch, shake it up, and you got food. Actually, not too bad.
That's cool.
I've had them backpacking before.
Well, I've always been fascinated with the concept of doomsday prepping. And like you mentioned, I mean, there's different reactions to different scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a natural disaster or civil unrest or whatever. And
mine was earthquake. I was thinking earthquake. What if I need to get fresh water,
mm-hmm.
and I could still maybe kind of hang out in my abode, but I would need food and water and communication.
Well, let's talk about supplies real quickly. In a minute, I do want to touch on the bigger picture on what might drive us to this.
Yeah.
But right now, let's talk about supplies. I've compiled a couple of different lists here. I've done a lot of research this week on doomsday prepping. And
what a time.
You know. I mean, the question, you know, for the novice out there, all right, I'm sure some people listening to this might be, this genre of podcast might lend itself to people who are, you know, very well prepared for this type of stuff.
Nobody listening to this podcast is prepared for anything.
Else. I feel like there's some people in who've got a basement full of food, and which, by the way, that...
it's a whole legion of people who are just going to survive on Dave's biscuits.
No, I'm just saying,
Dave's Biscuit Army.
If you're into Bigfoot and paranormal stuff, you know that demographic. A small percentage of those people are probably also preppers. All right, yeah. So I'm not going to talk to those guys. I'm not going to try to pretend to be an expert on this. But let's, or gals. But let's talk about the absolute novice who's never really given it much thought.
That's going to be me.
Okay.
I mean, I've given it thought, but I haven't given it anything else.
Let's compile a backpack full of survival gear. A bug out bag.
Okay.
All right. And now, by the way, bug out and bug in, that's a big...
that's how bugs survive in prison.
That's a big bone of contention with some preppers.
I need more credit for the blood in, blood out reference.
I didn't get that immediately. That's good. I love that movie.
Okay. Watson,
that was real good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I was surprised myself how good that was. I wanted the credit for it.
All right. People who spend a lot of time thinking about the end of the world, bug out versus bug in. Bug out meaning I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
Bug in meaning I'm bunkering down. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
All right. And there's pros and cons to both. All right. Obviously, bugging out is dangerous in the sense that you don't know what's out there. know, especially if civil unrest happens, going out into the wilderness or anywhere away from your home could be incredibly dangerous. So a lot of people feel like bugging in is the way to go, hunkering down. Yeah. You got your homestead. You've got your fortress. You got your basement full of food.
Familiar territory.
Familiar territory. That's all great, except for in the event of like a natural disaster. What if your house burns down? What if a tornado wipes it out? What if a flood wipes it out? Then you got no choice but to bug out.
Yeah.
So let's talk about bugging out real quick, and let's compile a bug out bag, get you a good backpack. I got me a brand new backpack, by the way.
You did.
I'm very excited about my new backpack.
It's got some camouflage on it.
Last one got stolen. Son of a bitch. Broke in my fucking van.
Took your computer. Your brand new.
Oh, I would have loved to have caught that guy.
And the only times you owned a computer and it got stolen a week later.
Nicest thing I've ever owned. I've never had anything nice. About a year ago, I finally splurged and I bought a brand new MacBook. It was way too much money, more money than I should have spent on a computer. Had it for 3 weeks and it got stolen.
So don't leave your bug out bag in your van.
All right. I've whittled it down to 15 items. What are 15 items we can put in this bug out bag?
Okay.
Let's start with some real obvious stuff. First aid kit. Mm-hmm. Get you a backpack, throw a first aid kit in there.
I don't even know. Do you know general first aid?
I do. I know CPR.
CPR. You know what? This sounds terrible. I feel like CPR, in the event of that it needs to happen, I could make it up. I think I've seen enough. I've seen it on enough things. You do a couple breathings. You pound on their chest. You're like, don't you leave me. Don't you fucking leave me. You got to say, don't you fucking leave me like that with conviction. You can come up with a mishmash of things to get CPR. I would. Yeah. Vice has Vice can go. Sometimes Vice amazes me, and other times I'm like, Vice, fucking take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're not gonna believe it. This grandmother smokes weed. Like, fucking calm down. But they had one that is kind of like what we're talking about. It's like doomsday prep stuff. Like, oh, everything's going to shit. You need this. And it was a detail like how to set a broken bone in the wild. It was like, oh, man. Like, what if that's it? Yeah, you're getting out in the forest. Would you know how to set a broken bone?
I think I think it's easier to wing that than to wing CPR.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just
CPR, you breathe in their mouth.
Nah, there's a technique. There's a procedure you got to follow. I don't know. I feel like you could just – it's kind of like playing drums versus playing guitar. Like it's just a little more cut and dry. Like, oh, just hit that and make that rather than the intricacies of the procedure of CPR. I don't know.
You see too much of it on TV.
Yeah, you break the bone and you get you – fashion you a splint out of some sticks and wrap it up with some gauze.
Yeah, but you got to put it – you got to set the bone. Like, you have to put yourself in traction.
Put it in,
saying, like, and the way they did it was, like, say your
shin, put the bone in the right position. Bone
was broken, that they had to tie their foot to a tree and then pull their body back so the bone would.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, that's true.
Like, ugh.
That's rough.
All right, so first aid.
Okay, get your first aid kit, but not just some little rinky dink, you know, band aid thing. You want to get something with, like, a tourniquet. Tourniquet would come in handy. In a situation like this, some disinfectant, stuff like that. Not just a box of Band-Aids, but like a pretty hefty first aid kit. And they make all types, but
get
obviously
yourself some vodka.
And when we're talking about a bug out bag too, you got to consider like spatial economy. So you can't go too big on any of these supplies I'm about to talk about. You got to cram all this stuff into one backpack. So get you a good first aid kit.
I don't think I've ever used gauze in my life.
Really? Oh, I'm the exact opposite. My whole childhood, I was wrapped in gauze.
You're just running through fires?
Just, no, like,
what are you,
just.
I did a lot of mummy role playing.
Just sports as a kid, always spranging an ankle and messing up a knee, whether it be like a bone thing or even a superficial cut. I just remember just always my legs or knees or wrist or something was wrapped in gauze. Band-Aid?
I always, like, mine was like, yeah, let the air get to it.
That's true.
She's not a doctor.
Mm.
You got to let the air get – you know it's always good for stuff? Your dirty air.
Anyway. Oh, right, man. So I got a – when I was 12, I was playing football, and I busted up my knee real good and got a big old cut, and dog shit got in there. I got dog shit on my knee wound, and it got infected.
It
messed me up for a couple of months.
Yeah,
my knee got all
bad.
I got dog shit and a knee cut.
That sounds like the best blues song ever.
Oh man! So yeah, get that disinfectant.
I busted my leg. I crashed one of the bikes, one of the Santa Monica trails, and I was coming back. And it was cut, but I wasn't like – I was walking fine. I just cut, but on the knees, it was bleeding a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I needed stitches. But right at the trailhead, there was some kid. You could tell he's an Eagle Scout. He's like, do you need help? We got first aid kit. I'm like, yeah. I was like wrapping. I think I tore the sleeve off my T-shirt to just soak up some of the blood. And this kid was so excited. So I did get some gauze that day. This kid was so excited to finally use some of his Boy Scout training. It was like one crazy summer when like the Boy Scouts all they want to do is use their training.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so you got first aid kit.
First aid kit's number one. And these are really in no particular order. They're all relevant if we're whittling it down to 15 items, okay? Get you a plastic tarp.
Shelter. Right,
you're talking about shelter. You got to have you a good, like a blue. Pat Dixon has a great joke where he talks about having sex with some gal on a tarp. And then he's just like, did everybody else envision a blue tarp? It's just the old standard blue tarp.
Like a blue or green.
Yeah. Yeah, blue or green. But plastic tarp can have multiple functions. Obviously, shelter. You can use it as like a blanket. You do all kind of things. It's going to be the one thing that you can kind of guarantee there's going to be at least a little dry. You're going to have control, access to, you know.
Collect the water. You can get the dew on top of it for drinking water.
So a good plastic tarp, fold that up real tight in a nice little square there and throw that in your kit.
Have you ever folded a plastic tarp? You know how big they are?
If you
open it once
and
then fold it up again.
Yeah. When I did landscaping, I would have these giant plastic tarps. It was so funny. We called them blowjobs. And of course we knew the innuendo there, but like seriously, it was just part of like the landscaper's lingo. In the fall in the South, when all the leaves fall off the trees, we would get a lot of blowjobs, meaning I don't need you to cut my lawn or do anything. Just come over and collect
suck
these
my
leaves.
Dick.
I need you to come over and give me a blowjob. But no, we would do blowjobs and,
You are just putting the sound bites out today, Dave.
Well, you take these giant tarps, these giant landscaping tarps, just like what I'm talking about now.
Blowjob, you want to cover the ground a little.
And then you pin them. We have these little stakes, these little metal stakes or pins. Pin them to the ground, and you take your backpack blower and you blow the leaves all into the big tarp,
and then wrap it all up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was very well versed in folding giant tarps and blowjobs. Get you a fire kit. Next thing you want is a fire kit. Now, what do I mean by that? I think you can buy them, but you could also just make your own. Just a little kit with multiple ways to start a fire. So get you like a little wallet, like a little woman's makeup thing, you know, a little zippy pouch thing, and throw you some lighters in there. One thing I learned, I wasn't aware of this, but apparently a great fire starter, there's a technique using Vaseline and cotton balls.
Yep.
You know about Vaseline and cotton balls?
Petroleum jelly.
Yes. Get you a plastic sandwich bag, like a Ziploc bag, throw a handful of cotton balls in there, and then get you a goop of petroleum jelly. Vaseline or whatever, put that in there, and then kind of seal it up and then rub it around, mix all that jelly in, get all those cotton balls saturated in that Vaseline, and then now those Vaseline-soaked cotton balls are going to be so flammable.
I saw something else, too, about like taking matchsticks, wooden matchsticks, and rolling the stick. Don't roll the head of the match, but rolling rolling paper tightly around the stick and then dipping the whole thing in hot wax. And basically you're making tiny candles, like the match will burn longer.
That makes sense. Yeah. So get you a little, some sort of pouch, some sort of wallet, some sort of, what do you call the thing women carry their makeup in?
Purse.
Not a purse, but I don't know, maybe it's just a makeup bag.
Makeup bag.
Get you a little makeup bag, throw you a bunch of lighters, candles, matches. Even get you some of those little tea candles, teacup candles.
Yeah, candles. Votive
candles.
Yeah, sure.
Get you those, get you the cotton balls and the Vaseline. So now you got your fire kit. You got something to start a fire with. Something you mentioned earlier, a water filter. You're going to need a good water filter, and there's a bunch of different types. You can get the straw. Like, what does yours look like?
Mine's in a – I didn't open the one I got for the camping one I have. is a bit bulky. It's like a whole hand pump, and one end, one hose goes into whatever the source is, uh-huh. and the other one goes into your canteen.
Okay.
And so then you hand pump it out in from the source into the canteen.
Huh.
And but the one that I got in my earthquake kit is just – it looks like a blue straw. You can okay. also get the iodine pens. I don't know how well those work.
Yeah, iodine is a way to purify water.
Or boil it because you got your fire kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can boil it. But some way to have access to clean drinking water, whether it be a water filter or the iodine tablets. There's a few different ways. So take that into consideration. Connected to that last one there, you need a water container. Get you some sort of canteen, some sort of way to carry at least a little bit of water. You're going to need a knife. I still think everybody needs a good knife. Good good hunting knife, good pocket knife. Love a good knife. So get you a good like all-purpose hunting knife, you know, whether it be a pocket one that can fold up or just one with a sheath.
Or even like a good Leatherman. Mm-hmm. It's got a knife in it with some other.
Yeah. So get you a good knife. Obviously a flashlight. Nowadays, the LED, the small LED flashlights, a lot more practical than the bigger, bulkier, like mag lights. The
3 foot long mag
light. Yeah, that are battery operated. You want to get the little LED ones. And they still make, I mean, you can get one from $5 to $200 or $300. Like you get like a police tactical LED flashlight.
Like strobes.
Yeah, but get you a flashlight. You're going to need a bandana or a dust guard. Something to kind of put over your mouth in the event that you're in, you know, smoky areas or terrible air quality. Mm-hmm. But a dust mask or a bandana. I've already talked about the backpack. You mentioned multi-tool. That was on my list. Duct tape. Got to have some duct tape. I mean, that's kind of an old redneck cliche that duct tape, you know, just all purpose.
Yeah, you fix shoes, you fix your clothing.
All kind of purposes for duct tape. An axe. Get you an axe and or a hatchet. Love a good hatchet.
Hatchet's just a little axe.
Just a little axe. Something to chop firewood with, to kindling, sticks, twigs, whatnot. And then last on the list, number 15, get you a gun. You need a gun. Now, this goes beyond whatever your political beliefs or whatever. We're talking doomsday.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, a lot of people, you know, I won't get on the whole gun thing. Yeah. I got mixed feelings about I'm pro-gun, but I'm anti-open carry automatic rifles.
I'm pro-gun, but I'm anti-most everyone who else is pro-gun.
No, I mean, I'm pro-gun, but, like, don't get me started on these yahoos with their AR-15s around their necks in McDonald's.
Fans ruining the band.
Fucking stupid.
Well, even my buddy who just had BB guns said, hey, I can nab a squirrel or a rabbit with this if I needed to.
Yeah.
Like, he's just talking about a BB gun, not even like a self-defense thing. Like, that, get a little bit of protein.
Yeah. Now, when you're talking about guns, obviously you can easily divide it up into three categories. Well, really two. Gun people will... The two categories being pistols or long guns.
Yeah.
Long guns, really, anything. To me, there's two categories of long guns. You're talking shotguns or rifles. Of course, you can get into the automatic stuff. But I feel like you need all three. If you got room for all three, you need a pistol. A good pistol is just compact self-defense. I won't get into all the details. Glock 40 cal is a great pistol. Yeah. It's got a lot of punch. It's more stopping power than a 9mm. Still compact. It's a durable. Glock is just a good gun as far as like they don't break. They're easy to maintain. Get you a shotgun. A shotgun's just a damn problem solver. If you got if you got big problems, get you a big Remington 12 gauge.
That's a problem solver.
Love a good like pistol grip shotgun. Oh, like I used to have one that it could hold eight shells.
You got a hole in your tarp? Shoot at it.
And then probably need a nice little rifle for hunting.
I would suggest, I would throw in there, are you talking deep woods here? Does your deep woods bug out? Maybe a little book of edible plants. You want to go out like old Christopher McCandless up there.
Exactly.
Old Into the Wild.
Into the Wild.
That called out of the wild. He stayed there.
Yeah, he went in, didn't come
out. I
don't
know why I put my hand up to the side of my mouth like I was making a joke.
It's a great movie. It's a bummer.
It is. I'm kind of like with him, and then I'm like, you dummy.
Yeah.
You could have walked a mile. Different subject. That's a lot of stuff to carry, though.
Yeah, but all that, minus the shotgun and the rifle, all of that can fit in your backpack. So, you know, if you're trying to, maybe you don't need the shotgun or the rifle.
Some rope?
Definitely some rope. These are just the top 15. I mean, you could put 50 more things in there. But yeah, definitely some rope. But yeah, man, I don't know.
I don't know if I'd want to live past it. Like, we're talking about this inside. Like, all right, if I'm not going to have kids, and then, like, well, what's if your mission for survival, like, if it's the ultimate doomsday, like, basically, so much shit went down, like, it's going to go down regionally. It's not like if the world explodes mm-hmm. and you're alive, you're going to have to get to fucking.
Mm-hmm.
That might be. But if it's just regional, like just America shits the bed, like it currently is, then, yeah, fucking whatever.
That's an interesting concept. Would you feel obligated to
To
keep it going?
Watch when we're all trying to get into other countries mm-hmm. and see how we get treated yeah. after all this shit.
Yeah.
You know, oh boy, America imploded on itself with civil war. I guess we'll have to go where? Ah, we can't get into Mexico because he built that wall. Canada's telling us to go fuck ourselves.
Oh, man. So that's your bug out bag. And again, I do want to talk about some bigger picture stuff, but real quick, let me go through a quick list of bug in food. All right, let's say.
I was just looking at that list, I'm like, it's just snacks.
Yeah, this is my bug out bag. My bug out bag is just food.
Your survival shelter just looks like the Halloween candy aisle at Walmart. That's what it looks like.
Let's talk about bug in food. All right. Let's say you wanna hunker down and all that stuff.
Hunker and bunker.
You got to do them both. What do I stockpile? What kind of food? What kind of food should we get? All right. Some of this is pretty obvious. Pasta. All right. You want stuff that's got a long shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
You want stuff that's not going to be too perishable too quick. So just think about that. Like anything perishable, don't worry about that. We're talking pasta, rice. Breakfast cereal, beans, canned meat, jerky, all kinds of jerky, whether it be beef or turkey. Summer sausage.
What's a canned meat?
Canned meat would be like a Vienna sausage.
I'm trying to think off the top of my
potted head. Meat, tuna fish, the canned salmon.
Potted meat
is it is literally probably the lowest form of meat that you could purchase
legally.
It sounds
like someone tried to plant meat.
Do you really not know what potted meat is?
To grow more meat.
Potted meat comes in these little bitty cans, like they're small, like I don't know,
like Spam,
1 or 2 ounces. It's in the ballpark of Spam. It is literally just pork and beef byproduct. It is
plywood meat,
the slaughterhouse floor. Like it is just the scrappings off the slaughterhouse floor, and they make like kind of like a mush, like a mushy. Like a pate almost.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if I want to survive.
No, yeah, it's not good. I've had it. Sling Blade, the movie Sling Blade, they talk about potted meat. So I guess stuff got lips and buttholes and peckers in it.
Like, but is it like just like a hot dog without the shape?
Yeah, it's mushed up hot dog contents.
I like hot dogs.
Exactly. So there you go. Right. But this doesn't have the fun and excitement of a hot dog.
have that take me out to the ballpark
kind
of feel.
Just a can of mush that you might want to spread on a cracker or something like that.
Okay, it's a spreadable.
Yeah, it's a spreadable like a pate. So yeah, any type of canned meat is going to, you know, none of that canned meat is worth a damn. Even tuna fish. I don't like, I'm not a big tuna fish guy, but if I got to eat tuna fish, I always get the little packets, the vacuum seal packs.
Well, I got tuna sitting in the
can. I just feel like that's higher quality than the canned stuff, and it may not be. It probably isn't, but it just feels like just eating it out of an old dumb can.
No, you make a tuna salad.
Yeah.
Lots of milk.
Powdered milk is going to be essential for people who need milk. I don't drink much milk, but powdered milk. Spaghetti sauce is a good thing that has a long shelf life. Canned soup, obviously.
Yeah.
You can survive a long time just on a bunch of cans of soup. Bouillon cubes. Bouillon cubes are good. Just, you know,
what does it just devolve into a recipe that you already want to tell?
I'll speed through this.
Half cup of sugar.
Bouillon and, cubes.
3 teaspoons of kosher salt.
Speaking of sugar, you're going to need some sugar, some honey.
And voila, beef Wellington.
Did you know this? Honey literally keeps forever.
Yeah.
Honey does not go bad.
I was having this talk about like how vegans won't even have honey.
Yeah.
Because it explodes. And I'm like, you know, If you could have caught me 5 years ago, I would have been a much more of a bigger dickhead about veganism. Now I'm like, as long as you're not, like, screwing up everything else, go for it. You know, mm-hmm. it's a righteous way to live. But the honey, like, what's wrong? What are you doing to the, like, the bees? Like, you get, like, a bee, like, you're taking the honey from the bees.
I agree. And I don't
you're
know.
You're a beekeeper. Like, you're keeping the bees. Bees are endangered. Here's someone caring after the bees.
Do the bees.
How about a little honey in return for keeping your, surviving?
Are the bees pissed that they got to produce honey? Like, it doesn't hurt them.
I haven't read an interview with the bees, Dave.
No, I'm just saying, like, what does a bee care if you take its honey?
That's, I guess, in a vegan's mind, it's like they're mad.
Are they? Okay.
But I don't know, like, how much of honey is needed for what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Other than just making their honeycombs and such.
I mean, it's kind of the same.
I guess you're taking their homes.
It's kind of the same question when you talk about dairy. Like, I get a cow doesn't want to get slaughtered and eaten, but what does a cow care if you squeeze its tit and get some milk out of them?
Yeah, and if, I guess
out of him.
It's how they're cared for, yeah. if you care for the cow, if it's a well-treated cow, and it's like, we're just going to have some of your milk. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah. yeah
all That's right. how I think about eggs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, chicken's just hanging out.
Yeah.
I would love to have a chicken.
Yeah.
Just have an egg every day? Just one egg right out the racket?
Uh-huh.
Right out the racket?
Where does the egg come from? Does it come out of its butt?
You know what? We talked about this before. I didn't realize chickens had an egg every day. Almost every day.
Almost every day?
But I think about the process of a body making something like that continually. It seems excruciating. I'm assuming it's passed through its chicken vagina because that's how birth works.
Yeah, that makes better sense than their butt.
Yeah, probably not their butt. We're not going to survive anything. Like, even if we did survive the apocalypse, oh, good, we're still here. And Kyle's drunk in the field, and Dave thinks eggs come out of chickens' butts. Like, what are we helping if we're still around? We're going to be the educators? What are we doing?
Not about helping, man. It's about surviving.
Dave's got a tarp. At least you'll have a tarp.
peanut butter, dried fruit, nuts, coffee, tea, and I threw this one in, hard candy. Why not?
That's why I was reading on your list.
Have some Jolly Ranchers.
Hard candy.
Oh, I don't even care about Jolly Ranchers. That was a bad example. It's lifesavers. I like a good lifesaver. Oh, boy.
What's a bad lifesaver?
What's
the dip in quality of lifesavers?
Well,
there's the colors.
Some colors are better than others.
Like them pineapple ones.
Pineapple. That's the number. That's a premium.
Tropical. If you give me tropical version of anything out there, I'm getting that tropical version. Tropical Skittles.
Oh, yeah. You know where I went the other day? I went to a candy store.
I'm not surprised.
Went to a candy store in Pasadena. And my buddy Lisa Best, she's a big candy fan. We were having lunch. She's like, let's go over there and get some candy.
You're off the sugars, though.
Yeah, but I sampled a couple. They had, you know, one of my favorite candies is? I'm a big fan of anything gummy. Gummy bear, gummy worm.
I'm with you on that.
Love a gummy.
All the gummies.
I found some very exotic gummy bears. They just, it's one of those bulk, you know, like you stick the scoop in and get as much you want.
Absolutely.
They had mango gummy bears. They had peach.
No shit.
They had strawberry banana.
No shit.
They had blue raspberry, grape, so watermelon.
Basically, if it is societal unrest, we know where you're looting. Last we saw, Dave, he was in Pasadena throwing a trash can through the front of that candy store. Only got about halfway down the block after the diabetes got him. You're going to die of diabetes 6 months into the apocalypse.
It doesn't matter.
That's why you got to have a tourniquet in your bug out bag so you can cut your legs off of the knee.
Gotta get insulin shots. Oh, boy.
Oh, the sugar got Dave. It wasn't the radiation at all. He was fine.
Oh, man. Whew. So, yeah, those are some foods. If you're bugging in, that's your bug out bag. Let's talk about let's get back to, like, current day stuff.
Yeah.
What – I don't keep my finger on the pulse of politics the way some of our friends do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pay attention. But, like, what's something that literally – could happen that could cause this? I mean, are we talking – like another depression? Is the stock market going to crash? Is there going to be martial law?
I mean,
like what could happen?
Again, also probably get corrected 1,000 times over for you know, talking out of a league, out of my league. But I think, what if it goes to civil war? What if it mm-hmm. goes to the citizens are clearly divided? Like, there's you can't have a conversation that's not about what's happening right now. Like, that's part, like, before, like, politics was detached, uh-huh. and it didn't feel like it was affecting me. We're fucking straight white guys. Our rights are fine. Like, so it wasn't, you could be like, oh, yeah, it looks pretty fucked up. Oh, they're protesting over there. And now it's like, no, it's part of everyone's life. Like for me, like I was saying, I watched, like, so it's just getting scarier and scarier. No, I'm not, you know, being affected by the Muslim ban, and but... Oh, Ian Edwards had a great joke about, like, why are there not more men at a, like, women's march? Like, the women's march, like, he's like, yeah, they're marching for abortion. You don't have men out there being like, yeah, I don't want that fucking kid. You should have even more men out there like, you're saving, you want to keep me from having to pay child support and keep abortion legal? I'm marching the shit out of this. Like, yeah. He told it with much more calm finesse, as Ian Edwards does. But like, that's something that does affect me, because uh-huh. I am friends with ladies,
yeah,
and their rights are being affected. You know, with Planned Parenthood,
absolutely,
you know, being defunded, and again, not knowing everything that's going on, but how much of the unrest? Like, what happens when it starts to bubble over? Like, what happened? Like, okay, the protest, Women's March was very peaceful.
We had another one this weekend at this LAX. Yeah,
and at the airport.
A lot of airports.
And what happens when there's a lot of these protests, and then the people who are either pro-Trump or just have now protests are inconveniencing all parts of their lives. Somebody missed a flight at LAX because of a protest, and then they couldn't get home because of another protest. All of a sudden, now they're starting to get marginalized the other way, which that's what protests are supposed to do, is upset people and make them aware, you know, that there's a big issue, that you're inconvenienced because things are fucked up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody thinks that way when they're inconvenienced by a protest.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody was already like, man, I was already kind of listening to Trump. Now, fuck, these guys are ruining my day. Now you push those people in front. So now it's a little more... It's very tense. It feels very tense to me. And mm-hmm. maybe it wouldn't feel so tense if I just stopped watching the news every day.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped looking on Twitter every day. And I wouldn't be so, fearful of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think what could happen, I hope it doesn't. But yeah, civil unrest and riots and... You know, how many more ridiculous policies that start to affect people here
mm-hmm.
in this country? And then it's your coastal elites. I mean,
when's the last time this country has been this divided?
I mean, since you're asking the old history major, Kyle Kinane.
I mean, just off the top of your head, I mean, we'd have to go back to the Civil Rights era. Since then, has there been a division like this?
But not being alive at that time, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I don't know, you know, I start going down all these wormholes about, is like, I read one article about it. Basically, they're just setting up for a coup. Like, it's really just Steve Bannon's whole action. And then we talked in a previous episode about, like, just get everything down to 500 million people mm-hmm. and we'll be a better place. Well, that could kind of be some of the shit they're trying to start. And
yep.
You and I, we're not part of that 500 million.
No.
It's the richest, whitest, top of the fucking crop that they're talking about preserving. Or in this article that I read, like, setting it up to...
Yeah.
They describe Bannon as an anarcho-capitalist, which is basically... He said it out loud. Like, he just wants to tear it all down and rebuild it to benefit people like him.
Mm-hmm.
And all, you know, you're getting facts from all over. What's fake news? I mean, we did the shit on the Pizzagate thing. It was something interesting that week that we talked about. So mm-hmm. we talked about it. And But what news is coming from where? I don't know who to watch. I watch CNN a little bit, but then it just seems like a sensationalized. You got three people yelling at three other people. Yeah. It's not going anywhere. Ugh, it's like not fun to talk about anymore. You know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, the novelty.
Peaceful, yeah.
The novelty's already worn off. Now it's just like, ee.
Well, I wonder how many of these actual doomsday preppers, like you said, I would watch that show. You got a doomsday prepper that's like fucking 350 pounds. Like, what about that part of survival where you might just have to run a little bit without your heart exploding?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I got a basement full of soup. It's like, yeah, you also can't get up and down the stairs three times in a row without having to take a nap. Like,
well,
that's
absolutely
part of like, that's physical a great fitness. Point.
Yeah.
Like, there's a little part of me, too, like, eh, I think I might want to start exercising a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
This gout foot ain't going to serve me when I got to try and retreat into the Angeles Crest National Forest, especially with a stick shift car.
But yeah, that's a very valid point. That's something we haven't covered. But yeah,
but I don't want to be like a paranoia monger. I want to sit there and be like, oh, the approaches are great. People are getting together. They're not bowing down. Like, they're not getting tired yet.
Yeah.
What, another? That's another thing that I read. Again, I don't have the sources. It's a thing I read online. But saying that this is what they want to happen. They want people to get like protest fatigue to the point where so much chaos is happening that people are just worn out by how... Because that's just what happens with the government anyway. Where they just chip away at your rights. This is just now doing it in a giant, you know, under a spotlight.
Yeah.
But when they slowly chip away at it, and they slowly, like how everybody get mad, like Instagram can use your content, this and that. And now how nobody's even gives a shit that when you're on Facebook, something you looked at on Amazon is now the advertisement on Facebook. I'm like, this is fucking creepy that you know, like... Like, I don't even know how, when I go on my phone, it'll tell me, like, oh, it's this many minutes to go home. And I don't know how it knows I'm going home at that point. Probably some algorithm that knows that from that location, I've always asked for directions home.
Mm-hmm.
But now it can guess. Like, now this is just getting scared of the robots type thing.
Yeah. This is a whole another episode, but I'll throw this out there real quick. Speaking of that, that piqued my interest. The other day, a buddy told me, now, I don't know if he's being legit or sensationalizing it, he said he's, you know how like on Facebook you get ads, personal advertisements for things that you've Googled or whatever, and I get that. I don't, that might be even a little invasive, but still, whatever. He said that
he empty your cookies or something, and that does it. We sound like real old men now.
He said he's getting Facebook ads for things that he's never Googled that only he has texted about. Like to friends and stuff, like whatever the product may be. But it's not even somebody you would know. It's another guy.
I want to know. Like, what's the truly parallel? Like,
yeah.
It's someone that's doped up all the time. Like, man, I don't.
But think about that. Like, if that's true.
Yeah.
He claims he's getting ads, Facebook ads, for things he's never Googled or posted about or anything. That only stuff that maybe he's texted between friends. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic.
The whole Muslim ban thing is just, it's just so blatantly racist.
Yeah.
And everybody that gets safety. And look, just the thing that goes around that it's like, it's nine. Actual Muslims that came into this country from other places that committed things. The number of domestic terrorists, number of fucking right wing. How come every,
how any American other than a Native American could ever fucking complain about immigrants and immigration? How the fuck did you get here?
Yeah.
We manifest destiny. God wanted me to do this. Fuck off. We're all immigrants.
Well, that's why there's like. Well, you look at all this stuff like, oh, it's not from any of the countries. The ban is only for – it doesn't include any of the countries that Trump has business in.
Yeah. Is he that dumb that he doesn't think that we're all going to notice that?
And that's the thing. It doesn't matter anymore. Like the whole world, like, oh, it's alternative facts. It's like – it's fucked up. So this may have – by a roundabout way, but the most pertinent episode of our weird little show we've had is this is what you need in a backpack to live in the woods for a little while.
Oh, my God.
If you see Bigfoot out there, What? How shitty would that be, Dave, if the shit went down and you had to retreat in the woods and that's when you saw Bigfoot and you couldn't even enjoy it to the fullest because you're like, not now, Bigfoot. There's surprise. I can't. That's when Bigfoot's like, you know what? People should know I'm here. And it's just a lot of people like, now this too? We can't. Our city's burning, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You could have come. You could have added whimsy to the world. But now? Fucking not now, Bigfoot. All right. We don't have time for you.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary.
Would you be sad? What would you like? You would have to like try and tell, be like, I saw Bigfoot. And be like, Dave, we're trying to. That's, get all the meat off this deer to survive winter.
That's when I would see it, is when nobody would give
maybe
a shit.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's Bigfoot's just out there waiting for people like, see?
Kumail Nanjiani, your buddy, my acquaintance, he summed it up great the other day with a tweet. This really hit home. Not hit home, but it made an impact. Well, I guess you could say it hit home. To anti-immigration people, immigrants fought to come here. Immigrants had to prove that they belonged here. You were just born here. I'm an American citizen by zero effort of my own doing.
I couldn't pass the immigration test.
I was just fucking born here.
Yeah. Do you think you could pass the immigration test?
Probably not. I mean,
I bet you Trump couldn't pass the immigration. His wife's an immigrant.
I do have a very high IQ. We've talked about that in the past. But,
all right. We don't have to dredge up the internet tests. That was just fake news is all that was, Dave. That internet was a scam.
But think about that. Think about the immigrants that have done whether they did it legally or illegally, but the sacrifice and the danger and everything that they've gone through to get to this country. Why? Just to have a better life. And then people like me and you and all the other entitled white dickheads just – I'm not even white,
just people that are born here. Yeah, and didn't have to fight to come. I mean, even if you want to not just criticize, but try to understand. The hardest part is like, okay, let's just try to understand. Like, well, there's been attacks all over Europe, and they're looking at because the open immigration policy, and then it's the attacks that have been happening in France. And they don't want it to happen here. So they're siding with paranoia first and calling it common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you prevented something through your paranoia, then you're like, oh, no, CO is right. That was another thing I was reading too. Do it. They had to implement it right away. Because there was information that we had. That's why we had to implement this right. That was just... Trump jerk off ego first week. Look at what I'm doing, causing all this upheaval. Doing all this, I'm doing what I said I was going to do. That's just him being a fucking turd. But if they did prevent something, like if nothing happens, they could be like, see, nothing's happened, no terrorist attacks because we banned them all.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, like, if something does happen, see, that's why we needed the ban. Like, they can safeguard themselves in their thought process. From like, I get why there's a paranoia there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who said he'd take his fucking gun to the grocery store in Iowa. He's like, I don't want to get caught with my pants down. You're going to shoot your dick off before the fact that it happened somewhere once, that's what everybody wants to go on.
Mm-hmm.
But still, nope. See the old open door? So there's been a couple of those. Here it's been, if I'm reading the fact, and it's facts that 9 people from other countries, and it was Saudi Arabia. 9/11 attacks from Saudi Arabia. That's not one of the countries that the ban was on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have any answers, man.
And I know people could accuse us of, paranoia mongering, but,
Until something happens, and then your paranoia was common sense. That's why I got the earthquake kit, only because it's not an earthquake. Just okay. Look at all the hurricanes hitting southeast. That people without power for days. Your food spoils. So maybe you have enough canned goods in your thing, but grocery stores aren't getting restocked. Everybody's gonna go get those. You know what? I got 7 days worth of food, and I got a way to drink water in case if a water main breaks and I don't have water pressure. Nothing's happening here, but I can go out to a puddle or go to somewhere for a few days until order is restored.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's not paranoia.
Yeah.
Earthquakes are real things.
Yeah.
They've happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Natural disasters are real things that you should prepare for. And I know it's hard for some people to part with a few bucks for something that they might never use.
Well,
but that's, I looked at three nights of
health insurance, car insurance, life insurance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. 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 So maybe it's not paranoia there,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that I'm like, well, you just never know, so you just got to be ready.
Yeah.
That's the heightened, like the non-heightened version of, well, you never know, so better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So, but safe than sorry means a sweeping racist executive order to ban Muslims, and that Christians were going to get preferential treatment. Oh, good, Christians. Oh, the ones that, the God-fearing ones that, the white supremacist Christians that shoot up black churches. Those good. Oh, good, good, good.
Oh boy.
I'm rambling.
It's a big old mess.
What's something funny?
I don't know if it's funny. I'll tell you something's fun.
Okay.
Damn Super Bowl.
Oh, shit.
I got Super Bowl fever. Like yeah. I said last week, I love the Super Bowl every year. But this year, oh, boy. This happened yesterday. I don't know. When's the last time you cried?
I talked about it, the LCD sound system show.
Okay, that's right.
In San Francisco. I think I probably had a couple watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
Big public one, yeah. I've
been accused by ex-girlfriends as being, one girl called me emotionally aloof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I'm a sensitive guy, but like, it takes a while to...
You don't show it all the time.
To break my lock, to pick my lock. I don't know, and it's not a macho thing. I honestly don't know the last time I cried. Yesterday, watching a Atlanta Falcons hype video, and I got a little teary. Got a little emotional.
I know
that's ridiculous.
No, the Cubs thing. A lot of dudes are crying during the Cubs win.
Yeah. I think what got me was
never
just...
Never been to a Super Bowl, right?
They've been once. They've never won. They went in 98. Technically, that would have been 99, but it was from the 98 season. Did not win. Got beat by the Broncos. But I don't know. Just I was watching somebody produce this like really good... It was, forgot what song. It was like some almost like a black southern gospel song, like a religious, like spiritual, just a real cascading, beautiful song, and had all this footage. And it wasn't like me being like, I love football so much it hurts. I think it was seeing the citizens of Atlanta and the joy on their face of like, and I know that sports are stupid and they don't mean anything, but like, and we've talked about that before, but it's escapism. There's a civic connection there. And I just, I was watching all these Atlanta Falcons fans just being so happy and optimistic. And I was like, oh, what's happening? I didn't start crying, but you know that little flutter you
and
get?
That's like what the Olympics used to do for whole nations. Yeah. That's why people like nations would rely on the Olympic team and like, you need to make us proud to the world.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. Like, somebody took a clip of the Cubs World Series win and took old Harry Carey clips and put the sound over it so like it was like he was calling the game.
Wow, that's cool. I'd like to see that.
And it was just like, all right. So I get that. Best of luck.
Oh, this Sunday
on the Falcons,
3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern.
I'll be watching that puppy ball.
Oh yeah, man. And I'm doing it up. I'm going for it this year.
What's the recipes?
I think I'll give the recipes that I'm going to prepare.
Okay.
So and this is kind of elaborate. So maybe I'll give a Reader's Digest version here, and if you want to.
I think an upcoming feature should be like meals you can prepare in the woods. Though.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. I don't have any.
No paranoia, but just like, so here's your bug out meal of the week.
That would be a good
little
feature.
Rabbit stew.
We can start definitely incorporating those. Mm-hmm. Here's my menu on Sunday, and I don't want to pressure you. I know you probably got a lot of invites, but if you want to come.
I might.
We're doing it up. No worries if not. But I'm doing smoked chicken wings. You've had my smoked chicken wings.
I've had the smoked chicken wings.
Oh, boy. It's one of the best things ever.
I know. I'm
smoked chicken wings. I'm doing smoked chicken wings. I'm doing smoked pork shoulder Going to do some pulled pork.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm probably going to do my pimento cheese, which we've talked about. And I'm probably going to do my boiled peanuts, which we've talked about. And I think I'm going to – you know what else I'm going to do? And I don't have the recipe right in front of me because I'm still researching it. I'm going to do a silly fruity punch. I like.
Oh, you were saying you were going to do –
I'm going to do a silly fruity alcoholic punch, like a hunch punch or something. Just a silly – celebratory punch.
My buddy from England, James Acaster, is a real funny comic, and he was in town this past week for a riot and other stuff. And so I'm doing a joke. He's like, I drink a lot of punch, just usually alone at home, so I don't have to worry about anybody spiking it. It's kind of a silly thing to see, just a man ladling punch to himself. Just the idea of a guy drinking punch alone.
Oh, like, that's funny. The whole concept of drinking festive drinks alone – Bronger's got a great joke about Jaeger bombs. Like, no one ever see a guy alone at the bar savoring a Jaeger bomb.
Yeah, yeah, slowly dropping it in.
But yeah, I'm going to do like a ginger ale and orange sherbet. The base is going to be I'm going to throw some orange, a whole thing, a half gallon orange sherbet in there, a bunch of ginger ale, and then spike it with, I don't know, what would you go with, vodka or rum maybe?
I would say whatever hard liquor you do. Uh-huh. You want to really get nuts, throw a little champagne in there.
Exactly. Okay, champagne.
All right. Because I'm thinking bubbly and fruity stuff.
You're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
answer me this question. am I any danger if I throw in multiple liquors in there? Like if we did champagne and rum and vodka, would that be too much?
Or should I stick to one? I don't know. Like, I could see just doing the champagne and orange sherbet as its own type of thing.
Uh-huh.
With maybe a grenadine.
Okay. Like a little cherry lime.
That's not your power punch. That's not your let's party get fucked punch.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be more like a nice, like an occasion.
Okay.
Know, I would think. But mixing liquors, I mean, it's all about the proportions. Long Island iced tea is everything in it.
That's true.
So I think rum is very flavorful. Vodka you can kind of sneak in and it slips under the radar depending on the ingredient.
Uh-huh.
It's like the tofu of liquors. You know, it kind of just takes on whatever it's around.
Yeah.
Rum can be a spicy bite in there.
Now, see, I'm not talking dark rum. I'm not a fan of that. I'm talking like the clear Bacardi. Yeah. Like the tropical type.
You throw a little Malibu rum in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Malibu like or Bacardi.
That might be too sweet.
Well, anyway, I'll figure that out. So I'm going to do that.
Malibu rum and ginger ale. Do whiskey. I don't know.
I'll figure it out. We're definitely I'm going to ladle something out of a punch bowl into my face.
He's going to ladle something.
All right, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the chicken wing recipe or the pulled pork recipe?
I'm like vegetarian now, so it's what the audience wants. Hey, man.
Nah, I know.
Health dictates.
You got a condition.
I gotta keep it for special occasions.
If you were to come, would you eat one chicken wing?
Are you gonna eat one chicken wing?
No.
Yeah. Okay. How's that? Yeah. Yeah. Eat one of those chicken wings.
I'm gonna eat a lot of chicken
wings.
Son
of a bitch. Yeah. I'm gonna have one thing that's amazing.
No, but will you eat some? I know you're really trying to stick to the vegetarian.
No, that's the thing with gout. I was like, for a while there, all right, just chicken then. Red meat's no good. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I wear Buffalo Wild Wings. And the next day, the toe starts hurting. I'm like, well, it was chicken. So I was like, chicken wings? Oh, that's the worst thing you could have for gout. But God damn it, everything I look up is the worst thing I could have.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I'll just blow it out and make sure I got nothing to do the next couple of days.
Okay. All right, let's talk about chicken wings. I think I'll do chicken wings. All right.
Did you not do a smoked chicken wing recipe early on? I mean, we've been
I don't think so.
Broadcasting for a while now, and I think
have I done my smoked chicken wing?
I think we got in early on the chicken game, didn't we?
Really? I've probably talked about it. I don't know if I've given out the deets.
All right. Well.
All right. Just real quick. It's easy. The smoked chicken wing, it's all about two things. It's about the smoke and it's about the rub. I'm all about that rub. And I make my own my own chicken rub. Okay. Kosher salt, black pepper, paprika, a little chili powder, mustard powder, a little brown sugar.
Equal parts each?
Nope. Garlic powder, onion powder,
that's
cayenne.
That's instructions, then. Yeah. No. That's our instructions. No. Equal parts eat. Nope, all different. Anyway, give it a go.
You figure it out.
that's how you keep them your resume. You tell people the ingredients, but not the ratio. And so it's still completely useless to them.
All right, here. I'll throw it out.
Yeah,
all right.
Hey, man, I'm not telling you to give up your secrets.
All right. I won't do exact quantities. I'll do parts. When you're talking about stuff like, because then you can make as much as you want. So one part, cayenne, onion powder, garlic powder, brown sugar, mustard powder, and chili powder.
That's a lot.
So whatever quantity you want to use. I'd say if you're, what I'm going to be using to feed probably 10 or 15 people, I'm probably going to do a quarter cup of each of those ingredients. So, but whatever the quantity is, just one part, cayenne, onion powder, garlic powder, brown sugar, mustard powder, chili powder. Okay. Two parts, whatever that is, double for the paprika. So we'll go two parts on the paprika and two parts on the black pepper.
Okay.
All right. So double those first ones, double that for the paprika and the black pepper. And then maybe about, I would say five parts kosher salt. So there's your ratios for the rub. Mm-hmm. All right. So you mix all those together. You just throw them in a big bowl. Use a whisk, a fork, whatever. Just mix the shit out of that. Get them all incorporated together. Then you take your chicken wings. Just buy a few pounds of chicken wings. You want to rinse them off under cold water first, because not to get. I'm talking about factory farming and stuff. You want to any meat you want to
dirty.
You want to rinse it off first. Pat it down with some paper towels, let it dry, and then just liberally throw all the wings in a big bowl or some sort of pan, and then just take handfuls of that rub and throw it on there, and then mix it all together. You want to just get a nice liberal even coat of that rub.
You want to rub them.
All right, so that's as simple as that as far as the prep. And now the tricky part is, I'm going to smoke them barbecue style. All right. So if you don't have a smoker, this doesn't pertain to you.
You're SOL.
Yeah. But if you got you a nice little Brinkman, little trash can smoker, or a barrel smoker, whatever you're messing around with, I like hickory wood. That's just what I prefer. Fruit tree wood is good too, apple or cherry. Depending on where you are in the country, wood is somewhat regional. White oak is popular around the South in Texas. Mesquite is popular in some places, but I prefer hickory. I don't mind white oak. Mesquite, to me, feels like it has a little peculiar flavor. So anyway, just smoke them. I'm not going to tell you how to smoke. If you've got a smoker, you know how to smoke. But if you got
mesquite, a tree?
Yeah.
It's a mesquite tree.
Well, it's a type of wood, so I'm assuming that's a it's a good question.
I've seen a tree and somebody's like, that's a mesquite
tree. I've never heard someone say mesquite tree, but mesquite is a type of wood. I'll look into that. But anyway, smoke them with your wood for about, depending on how much you're doing, I'm going to do about 5 pounds. So I'm probably going to smoke those things for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours at around 225. The whole key to smoking and barbecuing is slow and low, but also consistency. Well, you want it around, it varies depending on what you're cooking. Between 200 and 250 is usually the range.
How is that? Like, is that just the elevation within the smoker, or what? Like, how?
It's the heat from the fire. Well, yeah, depending on where you've got a barrel smoker.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you keep it even? Just, I'm sure it's a common sense answer, but just being a rube to the whole thing.
Well, a lot of the smokers have a thermometer gauge.
One piece of wood at a time until you get it there.
Yeah, and then you kind of keep an eye on it.
Just give it one more.
That's the beauty of smoking and barbecuing and stuff, is it takes a long time. Chicken wings, like I said, 4 or 5 hours. On this shoulder I'm going to smoke that thing for about 12 hours. So it's going to be an all-day thing.
That's like a ship in a bottle. This is a real delicate.
Oh, I'm doing it all
patient
day.
Patient procedure.
All day. I'm starting Saturday.
We were camping. I saw you. We were like, well, we're going camping. We didn't. You woke up and you brought the smoker and you put I think you made shoulder then.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, yeah, we're camping. We're in the woods. We're going to hike. We're doing it. Like, nope. And you just sat there and watched the smoker.
For about 14 hours that day.
Yeah, you did.
And that wasn't my best work because it was real windy out, and it was the elements. But anyway, so yeah, to answer your question, you just got to pay attention to it. You got to keep an eye on that. And a lot of smokers don't even have the gauge in it, but you can just You just want your fire to be consistent. If your fire's consistent, then your temperature's going to be consistent. So anyway, rub those chicken wings down, throw them in the smoker, smoke them for about 4 hours. Then here's a little trick that I learned in a restaurant. If you just smoke them and don't do anything else, they're going to be fine, but they're going to be a little rubbery. They're going to be a little chewy, a little rubbery. What I do with my smoked wings, and I would do this in my pop-ups, get you a deep fat fryer. Every cook should have a nice little deep fat fryer. Get you little small ones. You get at Target for like $40. If you don't have a fryer, you can still do it in a Dutch oven, but it's a little more tricky.
Yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll flash fry them for about 60 seconds right before I serve them. Ooh. So that smoking them, I'll get them probably 90, 95% of the way done, the doneness.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to smoke them earlier in the day. And then right before the party, I'll take all those almost done wings, throw them in the fryer, about 350, the oil, get that oil, about 350. You want to do either canola or vegetable. You don't want to do – you can do peanut oil. It's very popular, but it's expensive as hell. Like I think Chick-fil-A fries their chicken in peanut oil.
Gus's does all peanut
oil. They do peanut oil. Yeah, peanut oil is great, but it's very expensive. Yeah. I would suggest just a basic vegetable or canola oil. And just fry those suckers up. And a little trick when you're frying chicken wings, or I think pretty much any meat, they're going to be done when they start floating, when they float to the surface on their own.
Isn't that all fried things?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Pizza puffs, mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, anything that's going to float in oil is going to be done.
Remember working at a pizza place. We just tried to fry everything. Like, what if we put an egg in there?
Ooh.
Didn't take it out of the shell first. It blew up.
Yeah.
But then what if you cracked an egg into it?
I don't know. I think that's just a big old mess. That's interesting to see what would happen.
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
But yeah, smoke them, rub them down, smoke them, fry them.
Smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Boom. And then if you want to go back and find the episode that we talked about, the homemade ranch, I'm definitely going to be making that homemade ranch.
Oh, yeah?
I'll tell that one real quick again. Equal parts mayonnaise and sour cream, a little bit of milk, a little bit of red wine vinegar, some Italian seasoning, smoked paprika, salt and pepper, little hot sauce. Get the fuck out of here. Beautiful. That's, beautiful. Homemade ranch. Easiest
thing
in the world.
That sounds like a good Super Bowl day.
Easiest thing in the world. So, yeah, I'm doing smoked wings, do some smoked pork. Go Falcons.
I agree.
Yeah.
Go Falcons. Let's hope America survives to see this Falcons championship.
I like how this whole episode is about the end of the world and preparing for it and... I'm most excited about the Falcons.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to celebrate what you can while you can.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, let's close it out and celebrate our comic of the week.
Comic of the week.
Joe DeRosa. He's got a special coming out.
So funny, Joe DeRosa.
Real grump. Real son of a bitch.
this coming Friday, February 3rd at midnight. Technically, I know that'll be February 4th, but Friday night at midnight, February 3rd.
I like to call midnight low noon.
Low noon. I like that. Brand new special on Comedy Central, You Let Me Down is the name of it. You Let Me Down, Joe DeRosa. Did you do the voice promo for that?
Yeah, I did some of those.
Yeah, that's cool.
You hear me barking at it.
By the way, I meant to ask you this. Oh, when you did your three Comedy Central specials, did you do your own voice promos for that?
I did. The first one, they didn't let me do it. They're like, it might be too distracting. I'm like, come on. And then the second one, I got to do a whole bit for it.
That's awesome.
And then this last one, I just announced it.
Okay, that's cool. Joe DeRosa, great comics, got a bunch of albums out. Is this his first actual special?
He's got an album out. I don't know if he's got another special out, but I know he's got an album out.
I know he's done a Comedy Central half hour.
Yeah.
Hey, this is his first Comedy Central hour?
I think so.
Okay.
But I can't be positive.
Funny dude, Joe DeRosa. Buy his stuff, watch the special this Friday night.
Comedy Central.
Just a real, he's a great curmudgeon.
Yeah. Like, he's good at it.
Very good at it, but not just for the sake of being curmudgeonly. There's some of those comics, like those angry comics, like, I'm just angry, but like, you're still boring.
Yeah, but you also don't like them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like Joe.
Yeah. Joe is interesting and likable. But just a damn good comic. So check out Joe DeRosa. That's our comic of the week.
All right. Well, I try to keep a positive head, everyone.
Yeah.
And if you're protesting, fight the good fight. Be safe out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're with you. And shit. I don't know what else to do. Watch the news and be like, okay, let's They have more recipes that focus on squirrel and opossum and rabbits for next week, Dave.
I will do some doomsday recipes very soon. I'll start compiling my notes. Real quick, at Boogie Monster Pod, no vowels in the monster, on Twitter, at Kyle Kinane on Twitter, at Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter. And people still asking for that biscuit recipe, which is fine. A lot of people are asking for the email, boogiemonsterpodcast@gmail.com, yeah. If you want to email us
Just get a little Dave Stone cookbook.
Yeah. And like I said last week, if you like that biscuit recipe and you want that, feel free to, in return, throw us a nice rating or review on iTunes or wherever that stuff happens.
Yeah. And so, if you Facebook message us and you haven't heard anything, that's my department. Mm-hmm. I've fucked it up. All right.
See you next week.
Good
Go Falcons.
Luck, everybody.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.